to go, but that's all right. James in chapter 4. We are just about to the end of this book. Yeah, well, we're closing in on it. We're here at the second to the last chapter, and so there's that. So James chapter 4, let's look at verse 8 to get us started. We kind of finished up here and kind of left off from here last week, but I want to just grab this, get us back in context. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I want to talk about this morning as we get into this next little portion of it, is the title of it in the first point really is this, the bad blood of the brethren. The bad blood of the brethren. That doesn't even sound good, does it? Doesn't sound good. So these believers have been accused of bad behavior throughout this whole letter. Okay, there's this bad behavior. Look at back at chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So there was evidently a double-minded spirit among these believers. So right here in James chapter 1, and then again in James chapter 4, when he ends it there, it talks about there in verse 8 that you double-minded. That phrase is only used in these two places in the New Testament. That double-minded. That's the only two places that we see that phrase, that the way it's used there. Two times, though, it's in the Old Testament, the phrase is mentioned as double-hearted. If you want to write this down, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to write them down and look them up later, 1 Chronicles 12:33. And Psalm 12:2, it uses those. That's 1 Chronicles 12:33 and Psalm 12:2. It uses that double-hearted and same as this double-minded. The meaning is that there was a vacillating between two ideas, right? This going back and forth, this going back and forth, and why halt you between two opinions, right? But the difference is that why halt you is like they're holding, but this double minded means sometimes I'm going here, and sometimes I'm going here, and say, hey, how you feeling today? Are you following the Lord, or are you following the flesh? So one of them is one of faith, and following God, right? The other is of a lack of faith. And a distrust of God. So, I want you to grab that a little bit with me. One of them is, I'm by faith, I'm following God. The other is really this, is a lack of faith and a distrust of God. So I want to say there's two real differences. There's one that says, I'm going to follow. Why do I follow God? Because I believe Him. Right? Amen? Y'all with me this morning? I'll follow Him because I believe Him and I trust Him. So the inverse is true. If I don't follow Him, I'm really saying I don't trust Him. Thank you. Okay, good. All right, I want us to get that in our head, because this is really what this thing is. To really follow the Lord, we must trust Him. Because God's going to ask you to do some things that take trust. Take trust. And We've talked about this in the past, but this is just the way the Bible. It's not always easy. It's not always easy making the. Can I say it this way? Making the hard choice, the hard decisions. It's not always easy. Matter of fact, if I don't trust God, you know who I trust more than I trust God? This guy, because I know all the right answers, right? No, not, that's not the case. But the thing is, here's what I do. Here's what I do think that I know. I think I know what's going to make me what? Happy. Man, that was an easy one. I think I know what's going to make me happy. And so sometimes what I think I know what's going to make me happy isn't what God's asking me to do. And so now I'm making a choice between trusting what I believe. So when I say it that way, I think I know what I'm. But what we really say is, I know me. I know what'll make me happy. I know what's best for me. Right? We've said that stuff, and we believe that stuff. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm saying that is where we're at in our life. We're all like that. That's the human nature. That's just the way we are. And there comes a point when God says, "I want you to do something that actually doesn't line up with that." Right? It's not going to line up with what you think you know. I want you to do something. Matter of fact, I want you to do the thing that actually you think is not going to make you happy. Well, that's dumb. I want you to do what is going to make you unhappy. You're like, well, why would I do that? It can almost sound like, the way I'm making it, it can almost sound like God's trying to make us miserable, doesn't it? Right? It can sound like God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to make the other choice. No. Here's the thing. God knows what actually is going to be a help in our life. And what God says, trust me. I know it may not seem right, but trust me. Oh, man. So many times we see somebody, just in life, see somebody making a really stupid decision, taking a bad job, right? Getting in a bad relationship, going in a wrong direction. We see them doing the wrong thing, and you're like, oh, please, just listen to what I'm saying. No. You're like, listen, and you know what I'm saying. We don't have to be spiritual giants to understand this at times. And we see this, and they're like, no, I'm going to do this. And you're like, it's not going to work for you. It's going to be miserable. And like 3 weeks later, they're like, man, this job is terrible. I hate it. You're like, wow, who knew that? Everybody but you? So, by the way, we all find ourselves in that trap. This isn't for just really foolish people. This is for every people that start with the name people. Right? We're all like that. And so that's why it takes trust when God says, listen, I know. Can you almost kind of hear God say, I don't think God does like this. I think this is the way I think God does. God's like, come on now. I know what you think you're right, but you're not. And this is what you need to do. And I just see God like this. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? And don't you hate it when our actions reveal that the answer was not really? I hate it because we find ourselves there. But so to really follow the Lord, we must trust Him. So that trust comes in the form of humility. He says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Listen, but these believers, now we're going to get into that. That was just review. Okay, getting us back on. We got to always kind of get our mind back in context, right? We want to take the Word of God in context, right? But these believers, here's the problem. They had bad blood. Look at verse 11 now. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. It's weird. Anyway. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. See, here's the challenge. A verse like that, There's just a lot to unpack right there. There's just a lot to unpack. You're like, why does it take so long? Because there's just a lot to unpack there. I don't think, can I tell you, I don't think when they read these letters to the churches, they read it and they just read through and they read the letter and they just went home. I don't think that's the case. I think as they're reading it, I could imagine if this was personal to us, like people that knew us, like God Himself is inspiring this to be written to us, and it like is cutting to the heart, and we're just like, I think there'd be places they're pausing and just, you know what I'm saying? And so that I take, you know, months. I mean, probably didn't do months. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm just trying to maybe give myself a break. Anyway, so there's a lot to unpack here. He starts with this thing. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. I mean, does this really need to be said? Right? Does this need to be said? Hey, don't speak evil of your brother. Just listen, of the brethren. Don't speak evil of, you know, just let's don't do that. I mean, does that need to be said? I mean, you know, it's like, hey, don't hit your sister, right? Tell them like, why do I need to, don't pull her hair. Why would you need to say that? You know, sometimes we're like, there's things that you say. I'm just wondering, was this a question out there? I mean, was this the question that's out there? Is it okay to be critical? To slander? And inflame others against the brethren by attacking them behind their back? That's really what this context is, this thing of speaking evil. It's not speaking evil to their face. It's speaking evil of the brethren. You know, brother so-and-so, man, they're such a mess. You know, and I'm over his sister. She is, you know, let me tell you about, and you know what I'm doing that? You know what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to inflame this one against that one. This is brand new. Nobody's done it until our generation. Right? This is so common. Isn't it? Human nature is frustrating. Human nature is frustrating because we know these things, we're given these things, yet we're back to doing these things. And we don't get over it, and there's a challenge with that. This type of evil speaking that he says here in verse 11, speak not evil one of another, is the charge that is given against those that are evil toward the believer. Keep your place here if you would. I want us to turn over to 1 Peter, right next door. James, 1 Peter, right next door. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 12, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereof as they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works that which shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. And then in chapter 3, verse 16, he says it again, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So this phrase that we find here in James, Peter used it to speak of the lost, the Gentiles, those who are separated from God. He used it. That's how they're going to speak of you. They're going to speak of you, and they're going to try to. Really, what it was, the purpose was, they're going to speak to try to defame you. They're going to speak evil of you. They're going to try to put you down. They're going to try to hurt your testimony. They're going to try to hurt your cause. They're going to try to hurt what you're doing because what they were doing is they were despising Jesus Christ. And so they're going to try to put you down so they could stop. Listen to what I'm saying here. I'm talking about what Peter was talking about. He said they're going to try to stop that testimony. They're going to try to stop what you're trying to do here. That's the same terminology that James is talking about. Brethren, why would we... So, why would we speak evil of the brethren? Can I say this, first of all? I don't think, this is me thinking out loud here, right? I don't think people, brethren, are going to speak evil of other brethren because they want to hurt the cause of Christ. I don't think that's the case. I don't think one believer is going to speak evil of another believer to try to hurt their ministry to reach people for Jesus Christ. Right? I think that's a fair assumption. I mean, I'm making an assumption here. I don't think if somebody's a true believer, they want to stop the cause of Christ. Right? They don't want to say, no, what they're believing is stupid. It's ridiculous. And no, don't follow Jesus. Follow Judaism. Follow the law. I don't think that's what they're... I think a lot of times it's not this intention to do that. But I'll tell you what Peter said under inspiration of the Spirit of God. Well, that's what it does. That's what the laws do. They're trying to stop it. So he said. So James is over here saying, don't do that same thing. Why would we do that? What's the value? Can I say this here in the book of James, and same way with Peter? This was not instructive. It was corrective. Okay? This isn't, hey, there's something I want to tell you about. Don't speak evil of your brother. Nobody needed to tell you that in the way of instruction. Hey, just in case you didn't know, we're not to speak evil of the brethren. Nobody said, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, man, my bad. No, this was corrective. It was correcting a problem that was already there. They were evidently doing this and it needed to stop. There's no place, there's no time, there's no way, there's no purpose, there's no excuse, there's no value in speaking evil of the brethren. I'm telling you folks, there's no value. Nothing ever in the Scripture said, well, there's the time that we got to really call them out. No, no, the ones that needed to be called out were false teachers. Well, yeah, they false teached something. Yeah, I did that on purpose. Katie hates bad grammar, so sometimes that's what I do it, because then she wakes back up, right? So listen, there is one truth in the Scriptures. Listen to what I'm going to say to you here. By the way, I'm not preaching this for folks that aren't here. You understand what I'm saying? Because they ain't listening. This is for us. There's one place in the Scriptures that the Bible gives us that says these are the people that we are to cast aside, to turn away from. And that's when the false teaching is they do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? That Jesus, when they say that Jesus is not the Christ, those are the ones, not the ones that say, issues and other areas. That's the only place we see that. Okay? So this whole idea of, well, we need to do this. No, he said, listen, don't speak evil of them. Don't speak. By the way, can I just say this? I don't think what's happening here was they were just, yeah, I don't think what they're saying is right. I don't think that's what was happening. They were going into speaking. Tearing them down, speaking evil, wicked ways, saying things, putting words in, calling them liars, saying and probably saying they did some things and so forth. So listen, folks, there's no place for this. There's no time for it. Well, I think it needs to be said here. No, there's no time, no place, there's no way. Well, I'm going to do it in a way that's, you know, I'm going to package it in prayer. We just need to pray for this one that's saying, you know, right? No, there's no way. There's no purpose in it. Well, I'm just doing it so people can avoid them. We don't need, that's just not our role. There's no excuse for it. Well, I accidentally. No, listen, there's no value in it of speaking evil of the brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges. Look at verse 11. Go to the next part. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law. Okay, listen. Speaking evil of them is to, watch this, is to judge them. Okay? So, it is you and I making a judgment about their actions, their motives, and their purpose. Okay? It's to judge their heart, which you and I are unequipped to do. Can we look at the heart? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the... So, we're not equipped to look at the heart. It's not our role. See, if God wanted us to look at the heart of man, He would have given us the ability to do that. But He didn't. He said that's reserved for Him. So it's not our role. It's not our, we're unequipped. It's not our role to do. As a matter of fact, if every time I found, almost every time I found, I've judged somebody's motives, I was wrong. It's hard because it's a guessing game. We might as well roll the dice. What do you think they were doing? I don't know. Let's roll the dice and let's try to figure it out. Well, that's dumb. Well, that's the same thing we do. Well, because I've seen this, and we might make some assumptions on some things, but we don't know the heart. Folks, don't say, well, what they really were doing. No, we don't know. We don't know. I'll tell you, if there's anything that I've learned dealing with people, is when people do stupid stuff, which we all do, let me rephrase it. When we do stupid stuff, there's usually something on our heart that was affecting us. When people lash out, listen, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it many more times. Hurt people, hurt people. Hurt people, hurt people. Discouraged people, hurt people. Sick people, hurt people. Weak people, hurt people. Frustrated people, hurt people. When somebody lashes out, there's almost always something going on in their life. Now, does that make it okay? Absolutely not. I don't think anywhere in the scriptures, well, if you're upset, then it's okay to speak evil of others. No. It's not, I'm not saying what it gives an excuse for it, because there is no excuse. I think what it's saying is sometimes something's going on, and so when somebody lashes out, we're thinking, oh, here's what they were really trying to do. No, they just hurt. Maybe. Or maybe they're just mean and evil. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know their heart. Amen? I don't know the heart. So you know what we should do? We should workshop it. We should sit around and workshop it and figure out what their heart, what's really on their heart. No. No, it's not our job. I don't even know what workshop it means. I've just heard that said. Okay. When we judge the brethren according to what we think they are doing, or what they have done, or what they should be doing, we are determining what the law should have included. That's what he says there. He says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. So, here's the thing. When we do this, we actually are judging, or watch this, or slandering the law itself. Keep your place here again. We're going to go all the way back to Leviticus. Because let's go back to Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 19. Let's go back to the law. He's talking about the law. Let's see, what is he talking about, this thing of what you're actually doing is you're judging the law. What's the law that we're judging when we speak evil of our brother and we're judging our brother? He said we become judges of the law. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, he says this. Sometimes there's scriptures that you wish weren't there. You know what I mean? He says this, thou shalt not, what's that word? Avenge. What does it mean to avenge? To get even. Yeah, thank you. Nor bear any grudge. What does it mean to have a grudge? It really means this. It means I'm going to hold on to it. You did something. Matter of fact, here's what's funny. You did something, not necessarily towards me, but you did something, and because of that, I'm going to hold on to this grudge. God says this, listen, in the law, He says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of my people. But thou shalt, He said, don't do this, but thou shalt, what's that word? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. He said, listen, here's the deal. Don't avenge. Instead of avenging, you're to love. You're not to hold a grudge. You're to, man, so I'm going to love people that do bad things? No. You do whatever you want to do, saith the Lord. God's law doesn't give us a place to be critical of the brethren. Even those, watch this. Watch, that's what I'm going to say here. Even those that we feel need avenging, they deserve it. They deserve us to do to them what they did. No, they do deserve it. I'm saying, folks, there's times people deserve. This doesn't talk about what people deserve. There's things people do to me, they deserve that. You know, I hope that happens to them. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, but we're instructed to not even hold a grudge. What a ripoff. I mean, I can't even be upset with them. It's a ripoff. I want to be upset. I want to kind of hold on to that. Because you know what? Bitterness is something I can really wrap my arms around. You know, that's what I'm saying. Somebody does something, because you know what I can do for a while? I can blame all of my problems on what they did to me. Man, it's like a crutch. Man, I can continue using this thing for a long time because it's their fault. People do this about their parents, how they were raised, a faulty marriage. They can use it about their children. They can use it about all kinds of things that we like to do this. We like to latch on to other people's problems because it's not really me, it's them. And so we're instructed to not even hold that grudge. Can I tell you what? There's no yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, but. There's no yeah, buts around here. You know what I'm saying? When we attempt to speak evil of the brethren, we are making the judgment that God did. Let me rephrase that. Let me re-say it. We are making the judgment that God did not do well with His law. God. I wish He'd have let me help Him write this one. You know, that's what we're doing. Y'all with me this morning? That's what we're doing. God, you didn't quite get that one right. And so I'm going to go ahead and help you with that one. Because you said we should love them, not grudge, not avenge. I don't agree with that. Lord, I think I know better how to make myself happy. And the way I'm going to be happy is if I'm going to blame somebody else. Matter of fact, hey God, so I'm going to fix what you didn't do right. Now, So what we end up doing, we become like the Supreme Court and we attempt to rewrite the law. Okay, that was meant to be a joke. In our day, anyway. It was a little political joke. Some of y'all caught it. Anyway, most of y'all didn't. When I have to tell you it's a joke, you're like, oh, okay, we're back to trying to keep y'all with me, all right? We're not the Supreme Court that rewrites the law. Right? But here's what we become judges of the law. That's what happens. We want to now. Here's what we do. We want to sit over here in our judge's seat, a little high and lifted up, a little lofty, and we want to say, "Well, I know better than God." Now we don't say it that way. What we're saying is, you know, I know better than them because they did wrong, and so we begin. Let's turn back to James now. Go back to the book of James. We're going to see if we can finish this verse. He says, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a, what? Doer of the law, but a judge. So then we've become judges instead of doers. That's what God's called us to do. That's it right there. God says, I want you all to be judges. Judge one another with a holy judgment, right? So here's what happens when I make myself a judge instead of a doer. I am now above the law because I'm a judge of it. See what happens? See what he's trying to do here? What he's trying to help us to understand, and he unfolds it in a way that we say, listen, when you do this, you're doing this, which means you're doing this, and next thing you know, here you are, you're a judge. So if I'm the judge, you know what I'm doing is I end up neglecting the law. Watch here, listen to what I'm going to say here. I neglect it because now I'm judging it. Now I'm interpreting it. And I'm determining what it really means for myself. And once I determine what it means for myself, then I use that judgment on others. Man. So declaring that the law to love my brethren, it's a bad law. Stupid. Why do we even do that? Worthy to be removed from the Christian's instruction. So I thought about today bringing a box of scissors and passing them out, and we can all just cut out the places out of our Bibles that have that place that said love the brother. We could cut it out because we could do a little cut and paste Christianity. Let's cut out the places that say, right? That'd be good. So listen, if we're going to do that, let's cut out the places that say love thy brethren. We're going to have a little bit of a holy Bible. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to have to paste something else in there. Because we've got to fill the holes. And so what we do is we say, well, what God really meant to say is, if people are bad, we should go ahead and be mad at them. Or something really lame like that. Right? So that's what I like to call cut and paste Christianity. I'm going to cut out the parts that I don't want to agree with because they don't fit with what makes me happy. Oh, wait, no, let me rephrase that. They don't fit what I think will make me happy. You ever been happy being mad at somebody? Maybe for a moment. Yeah, for a moment. Oh, I'm so angry at them. You start talking. You get with somebody, you're like, oh, man, I hate them. You're talking. Man, this person, they've done this. Yeah. You know, just talking like about our government gets you like that. You just start, it's like upset your stomach. You know, are we ever sitting there thinking, man, I'm really glad we had this conversation tearing up the brethren. Really makes me feel better. Never works, does it? By the way, it doesn't make us feel good talking about the people that talk about the brethren either. Did you get that? So the brethren that are over here talking evil, for us to talk evil about those that are talking evil doesn't make us feel better either. We'll say, well, you know, I feel better because I feel better than them. Yeah, but that's... So, obviously, we're not the ones that get to decide what gets destroyed and taken out of the law. By the way, there's the law. There's the law, the Ten Commandments, right? That's the whole law. No, there's hundreds of laws. Hundreds. The Ten Commandments kind of bottle them up a little bit, and you know, they say, you know, good master, you know, they try to, you know, Jesus, and what's the law? He said, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, right, all thy strength, everything, love him. And second, love thy neighbor as thyself. So, and all those, all the laws are wrapped up in those things. Two things, love God, love people. So what we want to do is cut out half the New Testament law. Right? How about I'm just going to stick to loving God, bless God. And I hate people. People are terrible. Well, the thing is, God loves them, so we can't even love Him. So, wait a minute, I've just cut out all of it. Let's just throw this thing in the trash, because if we're going to speak evil of the brethren, we've got nothing left. Man, this just went bad all of a sudden. I just thought about that right now, and I'm thinking this. We have nothing left. If we don't follow this one thing, we're nothing. I hate people, and now I hate God because I hate His people. I hate His people, the brethren even. Whew. I'm glad we're not the ones that get to decide what to destroy. Look at verse 12 now. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Listen, folks, we're meant to be doers of the word. Doers of the word. We are never instructed to be the lawgivers. There's one lawgiver, and can I just say this to you this morning? It ain't you, right? And it ain't me. So who do you think you are to judge another? Well, that tongue, it's where I'm right at the place to go to the next section. And so I don't want to get, if I start getting into it, we're going to kind of be cut in the middle. And then I'm going to have to do like a whole 20-minute review next week. So we're going to stop there. But